Welcome to Season 7, The NGO Grit. This season, Just Talk Therapy podcast brings you the stories of some amazing people who dedicated their time, money, energy, etc. selflessly, just for a cause. They held humanity first and thus made a difference in their own ways. Today, we have a very dynamic guest with us, Mr. Kedar Sohoni from Mumbai. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome and thanks a lot for your time. If you could share with us about yourself and the NGO.
Certainly. My name is Kedar Sohoni. I run a nonprofit called Green Communities Foundation. I started this about 5 years back. And Green Communities Foundation is in the area of waste management. And we work in the city of Mumbai. And we also have a rural program, which we run in Raigad district of Maharashtra. So that's a little bit of a background about Green Communities Foundation.
That's wonderful. And if you could just elaborate a little about the work part, like waste management, is a very commonly used word we often listen and read also. But actually what it is?
Yeah, so all of us are waste generators, right? So whatever we do in our daily lives, we generate a lot of waste. Now that could be in the form of food waste. So it could be just, for example, vegetable peels, fruit peels, some leftover food, and so on. So that's one type of waste that we generate. Then, of course, there is a lot of inorganic waste, or what we all know now is as plastic waste or paper-related waste, cardboard, electronic waste, and so on. And then, of course, there is a lot of biomedical waste. So it could be sanitary waste or diapers and things like that. So there are different types of waste that we generate, and that quantum has only been increasing over the years, as we can see. As we start consuming more and more products, more often we just land up generating a lot of waste. Now, a lot of people are in some ways unsure of how they should be treating their waste. Some feel that if they just put all of their waste in a dustbin, they have done their job, which is partly true. If they are not littering here and there, then of course it's a good thing. But actual management of waste involves correct segregation of the waste at source, and then ensuring that each component goes in the right direction. So, for example, if there is food waste, then the simplest and most ideal solution probably is to just convert that into compost or manure. Then your inorganic waste, like plastic and paper and cardboard and so on, that is best recycled into fresh material. At the same time, if we mix all of our waste, then it kind of becomes useless, and then it has to be sent typically to a landfill or a dumping ground. So what we try to do is educate consumers in terms of how they should be segregating their waste correctly and what they should be doing about that waste. So that, in a nutshell, is what waste management is all about. And then we engage with communities to implement these kind of programs.
That is interesting, and thank you for the information, because yes, as you had said, if everything is mixed, as in the waste part, then it lands up in the dump house only, rather than getting utilized further.
That's right.
So how did you come up with this idea?
Well, I was actually running my business since 2000, but that business is into research and analytics. It had nothing to do with waste management, actually. I got into this rather accidentally. I was interested more in kitchen gardening and growing my own food. And the reason for that is I got into health and fitness and so on, and, you know, gradually became conscious about what I was eating, where was the food coming from, and so on. And so I was quite interested in seeing if I can grow my own food. Unfortunately, living in the city of Mumbai and in an apartment which didn't really have enough growing space, it didn't have enough sunlight. So that dream of mine couldn't get fulfilled at that time. I mean, I wasn't successful in growing much in my little window at home. But in that quest, what happened is a friend taught me how to compost at home. And that was some kind of a turning point. I realized that even if I can't grow all of my food at home, I can certainly compost all the waste, the food waste that I'm generating at my home. So that gave me a certain amount of satisfaction. And I started, you know, composting my food waste. And it was quite a fascinating journey for me, because just the fact that, you know, when I witnessed food waste getting transformed into really earthy, nice compost, which can then be used to grow more food, was an absolutely fascinating thing for me. And then I just stuck on to that, and so one thing led to the other, and the business that I was running got acquired by another company. And then I was at the crossroads trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. And by that time, I had really gone deep into not just composting, but waste management as a topic. At that time, it was still a hobby. But then I thought I should convert my hobby into a more longer term decision in terms of what I wanted to do next. And then one fine day I decided to quit my other role, which was into analytics and so on. And I said, okay, maybe I should be focusing my next innings, so to speak, on waste management. And that's how I set up the nonprofit.
Congratulations for taking that decision also, because yes, at times it is not that easy as it appears to be when one is listening.
Thank you so much.
And when you were mentioning about the compost and that being used to grow food, it's like food. So it's like a vicious cycle, that waste food was a food for future growing of food.
Yeah, it's a circular economy in action, in front of you.
Absolutely. And during this journey, when you shifted from your previous role and dedicating yourself and diving deeper into this area, did you have any low moments?
Well, I have been an entrepreneur for a while now. In fact, I started the analytics business way back in the year 2000. So you can say for almost the last 22 years, I've been an entrepreneur. And every entrepreneur knows that, there are moments where you feel low. At the same time, there are, points in time when you are really happy with what you are doing. So the highs are very high, the lows are very low, but that's part of the game. So any entrepreneur is kind of prepared for that. So for me, it was not a new thing, although yes, there are days when you know, you feel a little demotivated at times, but then you pull yourself up and then you know, just show up the next day.
Right. I just wanted to ask, like, how did you pull up? So what was your coping skill or technique?
Yeah, see, one thing, like I said, my entrepreneurial journey had taught me is that, yes, I mean, mm-hmm. your day-to-day ups and... As I was saying, my entrepreneurial journey had taught me that the day-to-day ups and downs are bound to happen. That should not discourage you from the longer-term plan. And as long as you are broadly in that zone, as long as things are not going so bad, you can always, spring back and keep going on. So persistence is something which, in some ways, entrepreneurship teaches you. And it so happened that, yes, when things looked really bad, then, the only way is to improve, right? I mean, the situation only improves. And so that kind of gave me the motivation to just keep continuing. And honestly, I really enjoyed what I was doing. And so I took, those...
With a pinch of salt, I can say.
Yeah, and just took them in my stride. And then, things luckily worked out as well.
So what I understand your patience, persistence, and pausing at times, but pursuing it towards your goal, that made you just, the momentum kept on moving like.
Yeah, and one has to be prepared that things are not going to be rosy all the time. So as long as you are not expecting everything to go right, then there is no problem. So you don't suddenly feel, surprised that, oh, there is something which has gone wrong. As long as you're prepared that, yes, some things will go wrong, some things will go right. Broadly, you have to be on track and then keep pushing and, going towards your goal. As long as you're prepared for that, you're expecting that, I think, everyone should be fine.
That's a very valid and a good point that you have shared, that besides all the other qualities, every entrepreneur or everyone who is starting some business or an NGO work, or in fact for any work. But preparedness makes one a little confident also. Yes, they knew about it and they just need to keep on moving.
That's right, yes.
Thank you for that advice. And who was your support system when you took the decision to switch and in this journey?
Well, of course, my immediate family was the big support system. So whatever I decided to do, my family, my wife, children, my father, my sister and her family, all of my immediate family, they were all supportive of whatever I was doing. That was the immediate support system. But waste management itself is a sort of a close-knit group. And there are some amazing people in this space. And personally, I didn't have any formal education in waste management or environment science or anything like that. So my source of information, apart from, the internet, were these people who are all across the country, the world, and so on. And they all... in some ways or the other, guided me directly or indirectly. Whatever I learned was primarily through interactions with people who have been working in this space, and some of them for decades. So I kind of learned from them. And they were a huge source of inspiration because I could see how they have been struggling in this space. At the same time, sticking to their goals and path and, chugging along. So they were a source of not just inspiration, but knowledge and guidance. So I'm really thankful to all the people who helped me along the way.
That's nice, Sophia, and it's really hats off to each person that is dedicating their life in this bigger cause. I would really thank everyone who helped you. And it says that where there is will, there is way. And your will was very strong enough, and you found your way.
That's true. I'm also very thankful to all my mentors and friends in this space.
Anything you would like to tell the youth, especially?
Well, so waste management is closely linked to climate change at a very broad level. And whatever we are seeing today in terms of pollution of the environment, at least part of it we can contribute to improper waste management. What I have noticed is that the youth are very much concerned about some of these aspects more than maybe the older generation. And the only thing I would urge youth is to become aware of what's happening around us, what are the things that are actually helping the environment versus harming it. Because finally, the youth, they are going to spend the rest of their lives on this planet, and they have to, in some ways, demand a better environment for themselves, and not just from the other people, but also, they themselves should be a part of the solution in some way or the other. So what I would urge them is to get informed about this, gain as much knowledge as possible, and contribute in whichever way possible. Even if they don't really set up a venture in this space, but at least if they are able to do something at their own level, at their own homes, at their own communities, that itself will be a massive thing. And they can, like I said, be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Right. So if at all they would like to, dedicate some of their time, or financially if they want to help, or, in fundraising part or any activity, they want to. So how should they connect with you?
Yeah, so they can reach out to us through our website, the Green Communities Foundation website, which is www.greencf.org. And on that website, you will, of course, find links to our social media pages, as well as there is a contact us page where there's an email address, a phone number. So there are multiple ways in which you can get in touch with us. At the same time, the website has a certain amount of information which can help you get started on your own, even if you do not get in touch with us, because you may be located in a different city or town and so on. But there are enough resources on our website and broadly on the internet for you to get started. And I'm sure you can get enough information and guidance so that you can make a difference. So you're all most welcome to get in touch with us. But even if you are able to, do something at your own level, that itself will be a great thing.
Thank you so much. And this is to all the listeners. Do kindly check our website. I will be sharing all the links in the post. Do connect with him, at least to know how to start or how to be more aware besides whatever awareness one has. And Mr. Kedar, I myself want to know, as you mentioned, electronic waste, that is increasing a lot, the speakers or the headphones or the chargers. So how should one take care of that? Or even the batteries?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So one of the most important things is to segregate your waste at source, and electronic waste becomes an important part of that. Now, depending on which city you are from, which town you live in, the one thing that you should be most aware of is which is the dry waste collection agency in your area. And the way to find this out is to contact your municipal ward office and get in touch with them, understand how the garbage collection works. Instead of mixing all of the waste together, you should keep that separate along with other dry waste, and connect with your local ward office to ensure this waste is collected separately and sent to what is called as a material recovery facility within your city or your ward. There are also certain private organizations, those who run electronics goods and shops, they periodically have electronic waste collection drives. So look out for those. In case you're not able to find information at your ward level, look out for specific electronic waste collection drives that are organized by some of these private organizations, or even some of the non-profits organize these drives. So look out for that. And the moment you find something in your area, get in touch with them and deposit your electronic waste to these organizations instead of just putting all of that in one common dustbin, because then that will go to the dumping ground and cause a lot of pollution.
That's true, and thank you so much for this information, because this has been running in my mind, and I personally never knew how to actually, you know, find out about it. So you have given a very good solution, that do contact maybe small places wherein this dry collection is happening, the drives are happening, maybe in the electronic shops.
Right. That's right.
That's wonderful. So you all also go out and collect in the, maybe in some buildings or something like that? Do you have that provision?
Yeah, so what we do is whichever communities we are working with, we connect them to the local dry waste collection agency.
Okay.
Although we do not have our own logistics and transportation, but we connect communities with these material recovery facilities and ensure that the waste is getting channelized in the right direction. So that's part of our part of the work that we do along with communities.
I will be contacting you soon for this, and maybe
sure.
Spread the word around and share this podcast so that people know how to actually segregate and create a very safe and healthy environment.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot. And before we end, would you like to share anything? Any memory, anecdote you have which is memorable during this journey?
Yeah. In fact, what happened is, as I was implementing waste management at our society, we got in touch with the team at the TV show called Tarak Mehta Ka Ulta Chashma. I think a lot of the listeners might be aware of that show. And they have a very interesting show where they it's a community that they depict in that TV show. At the same time, they take up a lot of environmental causes and they engage with communities that do that. So we actually had the privilege of having the Tarak Mehta team come to our society,
okay.
which was doing waste management. So they actually shot part of the episode in our society. And an even better thing was they called some of our residents from our society onto their set, We actually had a great time, and they engaged with the children of our from our society who had taken part in the waste management drive. And the children were most excited to be part of the Tarak Mehta show. So that was an amazing experience for all of us. And so really grateful to that team. So that is something which I really cherish even today.
It must be really thrilling because from nothing, you had worked in this space, and here you got people coming in to see your work and also Absolutely. The entire teamwork.
Yes, that was indeed a very proud moment for all of us.
That's nice. Thanks for sharing that. I'm sure the listeners who have watched that, now they'll be looking which episode that waste management,
that
happened.
That was a few years back, but I'm told they do reruns once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the listeners might have seen of those episodes.
Right. And anything before we end?
Yeah, so the only thing I would urge all the listeners is to get informed, understand this space, understand how the environment is getting impacted because of our actions, and change some of the beliefs that are there in your own mind. Because if the belief changes positively, then the behavior will automatically follow. So examine your own beliefs, your belief systems, your mindset. See if that needs some kind of a change and work on that. And then I think everyone will find their own path.
Absolutely. So it's like one needs to become aware, get informed, and do whatever one can do in their own capacity.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely right.
So it's wonderful to listen to you, and you have given such vital information, and I hope the listeners now will be more aware about how to get in touch with, especially to take care of the electronic waste, because that is increasing a lot.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you, sir, for your valuable time and information. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much, Hina, for having me on the show. It was indeed a pleasure, and all the very best to all your listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
This is Mr. Kedar Sohoni, the founder of Green Communities Foundation, an NGO which had its seed sown by sheer accident. The inquisitive nature and curiosity about various aspects important for one's existence mesmerized and amazed Mr. Kedar, and hence what he started as a hobby is now an NGO. He channelized his education, knowledge, acumen, and urge to do something for the society, which kept him moving ahead despite of all the hurdles. The work done by Mr. Kedar and his team is very important, as they are trying to address not only urban waste management but also rural waste management. He shared his vision, which is to encourage the youth and everyone to be a part of solution rather than problem. And he said that we all should manage the waste in whatever way we can so as to make this world a better place for ourselves and the future generation. Mr. Kedar strives to create models of success in both urban and rural areas for effective waste management. If you would like to be a part of the solution, do connect with him through his website or any social media links shared. It will be wonderful if we collaborate and unite together to solve this bigger problem. Let's work for it. On that note, I end today's episode. Hope to see you in my next episode with another NGO founder and their journey. So long, take care and be safe. Bye.